We're talking youth development in the built environment industry on the Clement Manyathela Show, live from the Young Professional Seminar on 702.
So we start our conversation this hour with the head of Infrastructure South Africa, Mametsi Masemola. Remember almost 3 years or so ago, I hosted her predecessor, Khosi Ntsuramokgopa, and we're talking about infrastructure projects that Infrastructure South Africa was spearheading, and I want us to get an update on some of those projects. And I've said to you earlier on that a conversation about infrastructure investment is critical because that's an important driver of the future growth of our economy. Even when you look at government's economic plans, economic recovery plans, they're very much infrastructure-led. And I said government is doing its part, but we also need the private sector to come in and invest. So how do we get them to invest? What are some of the issues around policy reforms or policy blockages? And what are some of the priority projects that Infrastructure South Africa is prioritizing? Mametsi, thank you so much for joining us for this chat. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement, and good morning to your listeners.
So I want us to start off with maybe people who are listening to us who don't understand the mandate of Infrastructure South Africa. What is your mandate in as far as infrastructure investments and infrastructure projects are concerned?
Yes, so Clement, Infrastructure South Africa was established officially in September of 2020. It was formed or established to respond to the following issues. The first is that the low levels of infrastructure investments in the country, there's just generally no momentum around infrastructure investments, whether it's the public sector or is the private sector. We are not meeting the targets that were set by government already in 2012, and on the as well as the under expenditure by government departments, municipalities, SOEs, state-owned entities, etc., in relation to infrastructure investments, as well as lack of capacity to execute these mega infrastructure projects and programs in the country. So Infrastructure South Africa is established to respond to those problem statements, if we can call it that. The first one is that we need to close the infrastructure investment gap. So how do we get, so there is a target that's set of infrastructure investment in the country, meaning that we need to be reaching 30% of the GDP of gross domestic product by 2030 has to be made up by infrastructure investment. In terms of that 30%, two-thirds of that must come from the private sector, one-third of that must come from the public sector. So there are a number of projects in the pipeline, but not all of those projects can be funded by the fiscus or by government or by the national treasury. So we need to be able to close that infrastructure investment gap. The second priority is to develop a comprehensive and viable or bankable infrastructure pipeline. So the private sector is always saying that, but where is this pipeline of government?
Yeah.
Where are these infrastructure investment opportunities? We don't see this pipeline. Somebody needs to be responding to that question of where is this pipeline?
Yeah.
So Infrastructure South Africa, as a single point of entry for all priority infrastructure projects, we are responsible for developing that pipeline and ensure that that pipeline is bankable, meaning that the projects are well prepared, they are packaged such that they can be funded both by government or from the fiscus, yeah, and can leverage private sector financing. And then, of course, the third area that we are responding to as Infrastructure South Africa is to ensure that we are building capacity and capability across the three spheres of government to conceive, to prepare, to execute or implement these projects. And that's one of the areas that has been quite dire in terms of skills, in terms of capacity. We are involved in that aspect and ensuring that we are really increasing government's ability to execute these infrastructure projects. And then lastly is to assist private sector-led infrastructure projects and fast-track their implementation by unblocking government authorizations, licenses, permits, etc., that are required to unblock these projects and ensure that they are implemented much more speedily. What is normally referred to as red tape. You know, that's our area of focus, and we've been building capacity also internally at ESA to be able to do that and assist private sector led infrastructure projects.
Because what's the point of going to the private sector and saying we need you to come and invest, but they come invest, but they are frustrated by the red tape in the process? And we'll talk more about what you have done as Infrastructure South Africa to deal with some of the policy and regulatory blockages as well. Since your establishment in 2020, do you have a number of projects, infrastructure projects, that you have that have been completed or that are active now?
Yes. So back in 2020, in July of 2020, the first set of what they call strategic integrated projects. So these are catalytic projects, projects that are, in terms of value, are 1 billion rand and above, cutting across five sectors: energy, water and sanitation, ICT, human settlements, as well as transport, and in particular roads infrastructure. In terms of those projects, 50 of those projects were gazetted as strategic integrated projects at different levels of development at that time. We've managed to, in terms of, and also the value of those projects was 340 billion rand. Now, the first achievement that we have is that of those projects, just under 10 billion rand worth of those projects have been completed by now. Those projects include your Musina Ring, it's a central project. They include the raising of the dam wall of Hazelmere, and other human settlements projects. They've been completed by now. We have 163 billion rand worth of these projects that are currently in procurement phase. So as soon as the procurement processes have been finalized, the contracting have been finalized by the project owners, those projects will then be, the construction of those projects will commence. And then the rest of the projects, they still require a little bit of support from a project preparation for, perspective. That includes, for example, Bokgabai Port development up in Northern Cape. We will be working with the provincial government there, working with Transnet and other role players to prepare and package those projects so that, such that they get to be finalized. There is funding that is available for those projects and they get to be implemented.
Yeah. How do you bridge the urban-rural divide through infrastructure? Because we have a rural population of probably about 18 million rand or so. So I would imagine that it's vital that there is increased fixed capital as well, capital investment in the rural areas, and there's just not a focus on urban areas.
Of course, and in fact, we do have a report that we have published ourselves on our own website on urban-rural divide, just to ensure that the gross fixed capital formation, so that's a technical measure of the levels of infrastructure investment in the country. And if we produce that heat map and you show it on the screen, you'll see that the highest levels of concentration of infrastructure investment is in Gauteng, because it's a city region. In KwaZulu-Natal, is centered around eThekwini, Durban, and in the Western Cape, is around the city of Cape Town. So we must absolutely make sure that there is a geographic spread of these infrastructure investments, and our focus is exactly on that. So if you look at some of the priorities that we have, is to support special economic zones. Nkomazi in Mpumalanga is one of those projects that we are supporting as Infrastructure South Africa. We look at Fetago Mutubatse in Limpopo, is one of the areas that we'll be focusing on. If you look at Namakwa, a special economic zone in Northern Cape, we're also supporting that. In addition, some of the projects that we'll be focusing on is around the schools infrastructure program, the health facilities infrastructure program, because these are some of the areas that require massive amounts of investments, and there is opportunity for private sector to participate in the delivery of those projects and of those programs. And so as part of propping up and ensuring that we are increasing the levels of investments, even in those areas that are currently where we are experiencing low levels of investments.
Yeah. So speaking of private investments, how do you bring in the private sector? How do you make this an attractive investment for them? Because the lack of funding to stimulate investment in new infrastructure, you could argue, is also part of the problem we have with infrastructure that we have that has been regressing. I remember the president's once saying that even if government spends all it can on infrastructure development, the backlog remains so immense that it would take billions of rands and decades more to fill it without a contribution from the private sector. So how do you bring in the private sector, and how involved are they?
So maybe let me answer that by giving an example. We've worked with the Development Bank of Southern Africa, Infrastructure South Africa, the Infrastructure Fund, just looking at the backlogs in terms of infrastructure for schools. So those schools that do not meet the norms and standards of the Department of Basic Education, they call it schools with inappropriate infrastructure. So they don't meet the norms and standards of DBE.
Yeah.
And just looking at the Eastern Cape and Northern Cape only, and you look at the backlog in terms of schools infrastructure, and you look at the future needs of that type of infrastructure, our computation is that at the rate in which we are funding schools infrastructure programs in the country, it will take us something in the region of 68 years just to eradicate the backlog and to deal with future needs. So to build certain schools, to build new schools, to refurbish the current schools, etc. But if you allow the participation of the private sector by creating a special dispensation for the private sector to one, fund these to fund the infrastructure that is required for schools, and two, to participate from an infrastructure delivery perspective, we can cut down on those number of years and deliver and deal with these backlogs in a period of between 8 to 12 years, as opposed to the 68 years. And so we've worked with the National Treasury in that respect, and the Minister of Finance has made it legally possible for provinces to actually to commit their future allocations over a number of years to allow the private sector to fund this infrastructure now. But then make sure that the future allocations in terms of their own funding, they can then repay the people or the funders and the investors in that particular program.
Yeah.
And so that's the only way you can, that's one of the mechanisms of bringing private sector to participate in the funding of private public sector infrastructure programs, and two, to also participate in the infrastructure delivery perspective.
Yeah.
Because these are the areas where we're experiencing greatest challenges, implementation challenges, funding challenges, governance challenges.
Another challenge that you are facing when you bring in the private sector is how easy it is for them to invest and do business here. And we'll talk about the policy and regulatory blockages. But we also have our own problems here, like the logistics crisis, the energy crisis. I mean, if you're going to bring in the private sector, those two elements are quite significant in how smooth the companies are being run, and those are important in attracting that level of investment. I know that's not your area as Infrastructure South Africa, but that's got to concern you, that as you call on more investments and you're trying to build this public-private partnerships, you also have these two critical crises that are the biggest risk really to our economy.
And they're being attended to, absolutely. So firstly, from our side, is that we are focusing on the four network areas, sectors for infrastructure investments: water and sanitation, electricity or energy, ICTs or digital communications infrastructure, as well as freight transport. because these are the sectors that unlock value in the economy. And our focus must be in those areas to support both private sector-led and public sector-led infrastructure investment projects in that space. We've articulated that in the National Infrastructure Plan 2050 that the minister has gazetted, which was approved by cabinet, and it focuses on those elements. We agree that the logistics crisis is a matter of concern for the economy, for the country. There's actually a committee that is composed of both the private sector in the form of organized business as well as government to address those issues. And you know that there is a dedicated ministry of electricity at the moment, our former head of Infrastructure South Africa, who is championing and looking into the issues around energy security and in particular looking at electricity. So from our side, even our pipeline is reflective of these issues. You know, the biggest portfolio of infrastructure projects within ISA is energy projects, followed by water and sanitation, followed by transport and including logistics infrastructure, as well as ICTs. And so we are also on our side also focusing on those sectors of the economy.
Let's talk about the regulatory blockages. How are you assisting it as Infrastructure South Africa to deal with that? Is the current policy and legal framework for infrastructure helpful, or is it too fragmented? Because there are many overlapping institutions, institutional roles, and poor accountability. And on top of that, there's also the slow pace of government approval of these projects. So what would you say in terms of regulatory blockages are the biggest obstacles to infrastructure investments, and how are you assisting as Infrastructure South Africa?
So we work with the policy mandate departments, because Infrastructure South Africa itself is not a policy giver. Mm-hmm. We don't design our own policies. We don't develop these policies and implement these policies. But we surface where we believe that the policies are inconsistent or are impeding infrastructure investments. So if you look at the National Infrastructure Plan, we did articulate, for example, in the energy space that the integrated resource plan needs to be updated as regularly as possible. And the ministry, in terms of DMRE, have gazetted the draft integrated resource plan, for example, as part of updating that.
Yeah.
If you look at the water space, we've indicated in the National Infrastructure Plan that there needs to be a water pricing strategy in place or water pricing policy in place to assist both like farmers, people in the agriculture and agro-processing space, support to mining industries, and just general consumption of water, that needs to be in place. And of course, now the ministry is already engaged in that particular one. There is a draft water pricing strategy that's in place, and it's been developed further by the Department of Water and Sanitation. And if you look at the issues in the ICT space, for example, the issues around spectrum policy, the issues around rapid deployment policy, where there is just too much time taken by municipalities just to approve waylift applications, and without a waylift application being approved by a municipality, telecommunications companies or mobile network operators, they cannot deploy broadband infrastructure. So the Department of Communications and Digital Technologies are engaged in that work and finalized that policy and actively implementing that particular rapid deployment policy. So right across all these sectors, we have surfaced all those areas that we believe have got regulatory and policy impediments to infrastructure investment, and they are being addressed by the different government departments. And of course, on the procurement side, which a lot of people also have been asking what's happening to address those regimented, you know, procurement policies, National Treasury is responding. Government is responding, National Treasury is responding to those issues. There is a draft public sector procurement bill. There is a draft PPP regulations at the moment, that will allow, that have been gazetted for public consultation by the National Treasury. They are allowing to allow what has been, what we now know as, what we know as unsolicited bids, for example, by the private sector, to be considered by the different government departments in order to accelerate infrastructure provision in the country. So a lot of work has been done. Over the coming months, we should start seeing those regulatory and legal and legislative blockages being addressed by the different government departments. But we do surface those, we do articulate those in our own documents as well, and constantly engage those policy mandate departments in those issues.
011-883-0702, that's where you can give us a call. We are in conversation this morning with Mametsi Masemola, who's the head of Infrastructure South Africa. If you've got, you want to send a WhatsApp voice note, do that on 072-702-1702. Maybe you are in the infrastructure investment space. Maybe you have seen some frustrations as someone who wants to invest in infrastructure. Maybe you're listening to this conversation or you've got some questions for Mametsi. Give us a call or send us a WhatsApp voice note right now. I'll start with your calls and WhatsApps after the latest in Eyewitness News headlines.
We are upskilling our youth for the built environment industry on the Clement Manyathela Show, live from the Young Professional Seminar on 702.
We are in conversation this hour with Mametsi Masemola, who is the head of Infrastructure South Africa. We've spoken about the infrastructure project, some of the regulatory bottlenecks. And I want to hear, if you're in the space, what your frustrations have been, what the successes have also been. If you want some clarity, you've got some questions around the infrastructure investments and how Infrastructure South Africa is intervening in helping spearhead those projects, give us a call on 011-883-0702. Your WhatsApp's on 072-702-1702. Let's start with Jeff, who's calling us from Woodmead. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Clement. Yes, I'm an architect, and I've been involved in some of the infrastructure, one of the infrastructure projects that the President announced during the COVID time. And there's two issues here. That project never came off. It was just speak, and there was a lot of money spent on the actual preparation of it for them from the professional team. But the real challenge that faces the situation is twofold. One is either local private sector and international private sector is going to say, guys, you need to clean up your procurement program because it is so rife with corruption and whatever. That people say, but why would we want to get involved with something where we know, you know, if you're talking about billions of rands, there is going to be billions of rands siphoned off. Now, I'm not being a moaner now. I'm just stating the facts. And the second and most important factor here in that most of the projects that I've experienced in the last 10 years, and we've done big stuff, hotels and stuff like that, is the lack of skilled labor. And we talk about the young professionals, and that's fantastic because we need them. But we need a skilled labor program in this country because you can't get a bricklayer today. You can't get a plumber. You can't get an electrician. You can't get a plasterer. None of them are skilled, and that's not the fault of the laborer. It's, you know, in our former days, we used to have technicons where you did a 4-year course to be a bricklayer. Now it's a three months course at Brickall. So the challenge that faces us is twofold. You've got to, you know, you can have the biggest infrastructure project in the world, but if you don't have the labor, skilled labor, to actually do the work, to actually put the bricks on top of each other, actually do the electrical and the plumbing or whatever else that goes with it, these projects are not going to happen. And secondly, and I'm going to emphasize this, is that the private sector and the international sector, and I have access to these people, say, we're not going to invest. It's so corrupt that we don't know what's going to happen. What's going to happen to our money? What is going to happen to our investments? Are they going to take place? Or do we just spend a whole lot of money putting things together and then have government say, well, you know what, we aren't ready for it or whatever. So it's fantastic what this lady's saying, but are these projects going to happen? I was involved with the Moycliffe mega city project, 50,000 houses. Didn't happen. And there was a huge amount of money spent in the preparation of the project.
Yeah, and we'll talk about... Oh, yeah, Jeff, thank you so much. I appreciate you calling and sharing your experiences with us, but also your concerns as someone who is in the space of infrastructure investment. So, Mameti, Jeff speaks about the concerns around the lack of skills, skills labor, but also he's raising concerns about the possibility of corruption. I mean, we're talking billions and trillions here. And the skeptic in me is also worried about corruption. But how do you keep the money safe from the looters? You know, how do you insulate these big projects from that? And he says the private sector, yes, wants to come in, but they are also concerned about the possibility of corruption.
Clement, that's a valid concern. That's a very valid concern around issues of corruption. In terms of procurement, issues of lack of skilled labor force to execute these projects. Some of the projects that got stuck in the process because of one or two other reasons. And just starting off with the Mooikloof one, is one of the projects that forms part of our own pipeline as Infrastructure South Africa.
Ah.
And one of the concerns, one of the issues that has stalled momentum in relation to that project is the lack of municipal bulk infrastructure that must be in place to enable the top structures to be built. And we've been having engagements together with National Treasury and the Minister of Finance with these municipalities, including the city of Tshwane, on ways in which they can get funding for municipal bulk infrastructure to unlock these project, this particular project, for example. And that is still ongoing because there needs to be a generally a new dispensation, so to speak, on how to support municipalities and provide additional funding to unlock private sector and public sector investments, because these investments are stranded by lack of bulk infrastructure. On the procurement side, I mean, the HODs or accounting officers, be it the director general, an HOD, municipal manager, the CEO or boards of entities, state-owned entities, by law, are held responsible for the manner in which funds, public funds, are spent on infrastructure and other services that those government departments do provide. We advocate, of course, on our side for total and 100% compliance with the legal dispensation, ensuring that there's transparency and accountability in the manner in which these public funds are used and that there's value for money. So when we prepare and package these projects, one of the things we're looking at is the value for money component, as well as actionability. So the capacity of the project sponsor to execute the project. One of the things we'll be looking at is availability of a skilled labor force to undertake that those massive projects and actually execute on those. But it remains the responsibility, of course, not of Infrastructure South Africa per se, but of the project owner and the project sponsor to ensure that there is a plan around the skill sets that will be required to execute these projects. Whether we need to be importing some of these skills in terms of the legal framework at the moment, or cultivating these skills ourselves, grow your own timber, as they say, that remains the responsibility of the project owner and the project sponsor. Where we can, we will support all those endeavors, but ultimately the responsibility lies with the project owner to ensure that there is going to be, they will be able to access skill sets, or also develop these skill sets to execute those projects and action them.
Someone else on the WhatsApp line says, Clement, enjoying this conversation with Mametsi. I'm in the private sector, involved in the water business. I'm prepared to put reservoirs up everywhere, anywhere. How do I get involved with Infrastructure South Africa?
Okay, and he can speak to us directly. I mean, this is the type of conversations we also like to have. Massive opportunities in that space. municipalities struggling in terms of putting up this type of infrastructure, including as well some of the water boards. So we're happy to engage with him offline, of course, in our offices, and we can see how we can partner with him and point him to the right direction in respect of the sector that he wants to get involved in.
Okay, I'll just make sure that the producers will send, will respond to this WhatsApp and just share with him the information on how they can get in touch with your office, so you can take this conversation offline.
Absolutely.
All right, Jeff from Woodmead also spoke about project preparation and how a lot of money is being spent there. And I remember at the infrastructure symposium in Cape Town, the president also emphasized the importance of project preparation, not only from the technical point of view and the financial point of view, but also from the community point of view. Because sometimes when these brick projects are active, you have what now we know as construction mafias, or you have genuine concerns from communities that say, but why is the mall being built? Why is the school being built? But we were never consulted and we are not even employed in this space. This is where you come in as Infrastructure South Africa when it comes to project preparation. Just help us understand, how do you ensure that these projects are credible and market-ready infrastructure projects?
So when we do project preparation, we look at a number of aspects, what we call the hard and soft issues. So the hard issues will be to look at the technical issues, technical designs, if it's a road or is a dam, the technical designs. You'll be looking at geotechnical reports. You'll be looking at different things in relation to technical. There's the legal component as well. There is the commercial aspects, financial modeling, conducting cost-benefit analysis, etc. Well and good. That's all well and good, because that's part of making these projects to be market ready, to be investment ready. The softer issues is around stakeholder engagement and social facilitation, because these projects are not implemented up in the sky. They have to land at some locality, at some geographic space, and there's people that live there. There are businesses, there are households, there are individuals, and so on. So part of that preparation is to undertake a social facilitation process, and there's a framework that was approved about 3 years ago on how to conduct that social facilitation. Part of our preparation work is to ensure that there is a buy-in by communities, by entrepreneurs, by businesses in the area on that particular project. So that social facilitation aspect is critical for the delivery of these projects. And of course, there'll always be individuals that will take advantage of this, and the Minister Sihle Zikalala is addressing this matter head on construction mafia, the business forums, the people that feel entitled to extracting and extorting the project owners in the delivery of those projects. We do speak about that as well in our national infrastructure plan. There's a dedicated section in the plan that talks about crime and corruption in relation to infrastructure projects. And we do articulate that this can be a huge impediment for the delivery of projects. But social facilitation in the main is key to ensuring that we genuinely, the people that genuinely want to get involved in the delivery of this infrastructure get to be included and they form part and parcel of the delivery of that infrastructure. That's one of the mechanisms that we apply in the preparation of these projects, Clement.
There's a question here about the intention for the investment in infrastructure. Yes, that's to stimulate economic growth, but is the national portfolio of projects too socially focused and not containing enough economic-driven infrastructure projects? Or do you think there's a balance there? And how do you strike the balance?
And this is a very good question. So let's start off with perhaps something that you mentioned earlier, Clement, about the top 12 infrastructure projects that we will be preparing and packaging in the current financial year. So government financial year starts on the 1st of April and it ends on the 30th of March. So in the current financial year, we will be focusing on 12 priority infrastructure projects. And if you look at these projects, 10 of these projects are economic, high economic impact projects, and two are social infrastructure investment programs. Mm. So programs in the social infrastructure sector focuses on schools, and will be focusing on schools infrastructure in KwaZulu-Natal and Free State. And in terms of health facilities, we'll be looking at conducting, together with the National Department of Health, conducting conditional assessments on 98 health facilities, and these will be tertiary institutions, tertiary hospitals, academic hospitals, provincial hospitals. These are massive hospitals, 98 of those, and to prepare and package that. But the rest of the projects are high economic infrastructure projects. So we're looking at ports, extensions of ports, the Durban container terminal, for example, the Amatolo water bulk supply augmentation projects. This is a 5 billion rand infrastructure project. We're looking at supporting special economic zones, specifically in Nkomazi in Mpumalanga. We're looking at the Namakwa special economic zone. That's where the Bohobai port development is going to take place, etc. We're looking at Project Ukuvuselela. This is a rail project sponsored by Transnet. It's a high-capacity rail infrastructure project that will link Tshwane, the city of Tshwane, together with Gqeberha in the Eastern Cape to support the exports of vehicles manufactured here in Gauteng. You know, so the projects are economically focused. They are high-impact projects, projects that will stimulate the economy, projects that will support South Africa's economic competitiveness, projects that will ensure that we are integrating into the global supply chains, etc. So it's skewed towards that at the moment, because research that we've done shows that to be able to meet the target that we've set as government of 30% of GDP underpinned by infrastructure investment, we need to bring anything between 16 and 20 mega projects. And mega is it's defined as a project that is its value is something in the region of 9 to 12 billion. Mm. We need to bring those projects into the market every single year between now and 2030. Mm. And so we have we're starting off with 12 at the moment to prepare these projects, to work with like-minded infrastructure stakeholders. Other project preparation facilities will be roped in, multilateral development banks, pension funds, local development finance institutions, to prepare and package these projects as PPPs, as well as blended finance infrastructure projects. So really we are pivoting, and we've tilted this project pipeline to be more looking at economic infrastructure projects.
Speaking of PPPs, because as you say, the National Infrastructure Plan, even 2050, speaks to the private sector, the public sector partnering with the private sector and development finance agencies to fill the finance gap of approximately one third of the amount that needs to be invested until 2050. How do you structure the PPP agreements? And because there have been lessons, I suppose that's what you look at in government. I think with Telkom, yes, that's in telecommunications, but that's one of the successful public-private partnerships we've seen in government. But there have also been some that are not successful. SAA was going to be a public-private partnership. So what lessons are you taking from what has worked, what has not worked, in structuring these public-private partnerships? Because that's what's going to help you in these complex infrastructure projects get the right investment and partner with these private companies in order to deliver on what's been committed.
So less than 2% of the overall projects in South Africa, at least from a public sector perspective, are PPPs, right? So we're looking at growing the number and quality of those infrastructure projects that are PPPs in nature. As you are aware, the Minister of Finance has also announced that they will be improving, or they will be recalibrating the current PPP unit, National Treasury, to beef up that section of the unit within National Treasury with additional skill sets, bringing in top specialists in that environment to help with the structuring, as you say, and the contracting and the development of the design of PPPs in general in the country. We are cognizant of that, and we are responding to that call by the Minister of Finance, and hence I've mentioned the top 12 priority infrastructure projects, because these are projects that from the onset are going to be prepared as PPPs. They are wonderful examples of what has worked. Gautrain, for example, yep, is a very one. Well-run, world-class sort of PPP that we can see and can touch. And there's others as well. If you look at some of the government precincts, you look at the head offices of Department of International Relations and Cooperation, that's a PPP, you know, well-structured projects, etc. So there are examples of excellence in the country. We have to simply replicate that throughout so that some of those learnings, even where things have failed, we can bring that in into the fold, and just government leveraging internally within the public sector in terms of the skill sets, and externally from the private sector to package these projects as PPPs. So we are responding to that as Infrastructure South Africa, and we are starting with the current projects in the current financial year that will be designed from the onset as PPPs.
Pat on the WhatsApp line says, "Hi Clem, this is a great discussion. I think the private sector must pull through in these types of projects as discussed by yourself and Mametsi there. They need to stop these excuses that they're making about corruption in government. They themselves are not clean, and I believe this notion of there is no skills base is not entirely true. If we work with what we all have, all these projects can succeed. Thank you." That's a message there from Pat. Another one says, this is Brighton, who says, "Clement, may I ask your guest to just unpack about transportation infrastructure? Because I hear her referring to human movement, but is that without much dwelling on economic activities? Do you want to maybe talk more about transport infrastructure? I know transport is the most preferred mode of transport for the movements of goods and services and passengers. How much of the investments is going into that?"
So in the earlier years, we focused on freight transport because, again, is an area that requires attention from government, and Infrastructure South Africa is responding in that regard. So we focused on highways, the roads that are built by SANRAL. We focused on freight transport, the work that's been done by Transnet and others. But in the second phase, there's reference that we're making to passenger transport because it's a movement of people. It gets people from to and from work to economic opportunities, contributing to livelihood and social interaction. We have been engaging with the Group CEO of PRASA and his executive team, Hisham, at PRASA, and there is massive amount of work that's going to be done by PRASA, for example, on the passenger rail perspective. There's work that's going to be undertaken by the Department of Transport in relation to some of the roads infrastructure that they're going to be implementing in the current financial year or over the next 3 years. So there is some level of attention that is being placed around issues of passenger transport. But at the moment, from an ISA perspective, from Infrastructure South Africa perspective, we're focusing on freight transport. I think that's an area that requires a massive amount of attention at the moment to unlock value in the economy and enable South Africa to export more, gain to get the revenues, you know, from externally and to bolster our balance of payments and so on. So we do need that. From our side, that is an area of focus. We do understand that there are also some pressures around passenger transport and so on, but there are institutions, and we know, I can tell tell you right now that our engagements with PRASA, for example, they will be spending in the region of 12.4 billion rand just this year alone on some of the work around their passenger rail, for example. Yeah.
Mametse Masemola, Head of Infrastructure South Africa, it's been great. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Thank you so much, Clement. Thank you for having us, and thank you to your listeners.